coming to you live from the Cross Country Mortgage Campus in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, coming soon to Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland. Here are your hosts, Bo Bishop and Nathan Zagura.
A Niner. Was that a Niner?
Let's do it live on a Monday edition. Merely Bo. Great Z. How you doing? Good weekend?
Great weekend. It was fun with the childrens. We had a nice time. Got out to thanks to my good buddy Dizio, the first meal of the year at the Trout Club, which is always a wonderful time. So, yeah, it was nice. It was relaxing. It's just I'm ready to be done with snow. Sorry. I'm ready to be done with it. So I'm ready to be out there chasing a small ball around on a beautiful weekend. Spring has sprung today. But, you know, other than that, it was great. Just happy to be around. You know, it's funny. I've consumed less of this tournament than I think any other tournament ever.
I would say that you've consumed less of this tournament than most, because it feels like I can't escape it everywhere I go. Yeah. Every person I talk to, kids all the way up.
Yeah.
And for a sport that doesn't get consumed much,
yeah,
November, December, January, February, it's all that's on. It's all that's everywhere.
It's been
I've
on the background
all weekend. Yeah, it's been on nonstop. I got people coming up to me on Saturday night. I can't believe Kansas. Can you believe Kansas lost? I'm like, well, how many times did you see Kansas play?
And they lost. Didn't they lose like three of their top guys from a year before, and then their best player had an ankle injury?
No, they were healthy. They did lose guys like Obagi, and they lost some guys from the national championship team. But they're good. They're number one seed. But they were relatively healthy in this. But it just speaks to like, yeah, like it's funny. Like I couldn't escape it. By the way, Gibbe's back. Hello, Gibbe.
That's the best part.
Hello, boys.
How are you, buddy? Survived and advanced.
We survived. The hooligans survived.
We're not
sure
you survived.
I'm not sure Mesquite, Nevada survived the hooligans. there might be some.
I just wish that like I could have like a Hard Knocks of this trip.
Oh, yeah.
I'd really enjoy consuming that.
I would, too, just to see the.
Fairly confident none of us could ever run for public office.
I think it feels like a lock to me.
Did
you have a good time? How much golf did you get in?
We played almost 90 holes. In like 4 days.
That's getting after it.
It was. And
that's
then
awesome.
Like just drinking your face off.
Yeah.
Till like one or two in the morning, four or five here.
Run it back.
Going to bed, talking to young Connor. It's young Connor's last day here with us.
Oh, there you go.
You know, having a meeting with him at 6 a.m., hoping I can go back to bed for an hour or two before we start it all over again.
Run it right back.
Yeah. Unbelievable golf. Great times. Hung, as I told my wife, better people. The golf's great and everything, but when you got really good friends and good people, then it makes it all better.
It's cool that you guys still do that. I've had various guys trip. I know you're still able to do that. I've had a couple of those that were started and then kind of drifted off. It's hard, man, to keep them.
It is hard, but
it's
fun. By the way, I'm definitely going to get a text from my mom soon. I worry about that, Gibbe. whenever he talks about,
I'll tell you what, she should have been worried about me. This is about 8:37 a.m. Sunday morning. I'm driving down 271 northbound, heading to 90 westbound because I had a 9 o'clock tip in AAU basketball. Back to back 9 a.m. tips.
I thought you were done with
Saturday
basketball.
Morning at Garfield Heights at 9 a.m.
Yeah,
so we had that.
And the road conditions.
I thought the season was over.
I landed at 6 a.m.
This is AAU. That was community. This is AAU. So Sunday morning, 9 a.m. tip time at Euclid Middle School. Fantastic facility, by the way, in Euclid. I can confirm to you that it was as bad of road conditions as I have ever seen. Now, let's remember, I grew up in Montana.
That's right.
Where the wind blows.
And also the Bay Area, but neither here nor there.
So it started at 271. Like, it was whiteout blizzard, like could not see in front of you, whiteout blizzard. The problem was, and I don't, not an expert on road maintenance, but from what I could tell, there was no salt poured. So it was snow, it was ice, snow, blizzard.
Bad.
So I'm going, I never advanced more than 32 miles an hour. I'm telling NBC, I'm like, dude, we'll be lucky if we get there at 9. I have no idea if this tournament's going to go on. I don't know how the hell all these teams are going to get here. But it was basically what amounted to, and people that live on that side could attest to it, basically an incredible blizzard over what appeared to be about a 10-mile radius. and that was it because there was nothing anywhere else.
Was it a blizzard at my
None.
House?
Mine, no, totally. So you make the turn onto 90, heading west, and it's a parking lot of cars. Going north, they're all going on to 271. They're all backed up forever because there's an accident. Then going west on 90, and what you see, there's I don't drive that road very often, but there is a pretty distinct turn in 90 before it kind of evens out kind of near the food bank. There was a turn, and on this turn, cars are driving, and as they're driving, they're just sliding down, sliding into the ditch, one after another. There's like eight of them. Just so because of my expertise in driving in winter conditions.
And your car is elite in those
It
conditions.
Is. It's good, and it's heavy, which helps.
Yeah.
But I also, Paige was like, Dad, what are you doing? What are you doing? I'm like, buddy, we're going high side, and we're driving in the snow.
Like
we stay out of that stuff. Let's go in the snow. We got some traction. High side. So we followed an SUV like all the way around the top. As I'm driving, their car's like trying to hit. They don't know how to do it. So they're hitting the gas, trying to go up the curve. This is a turn on a freeway. And as they're trying to go up, one after another. Somehow we get through it.
This feels like a movie.
I get to Euclid Middle School. I get off. I'd never been there before. The nav is telling me, make a right here. I'm like, well, there's 8 inches of snow that has not been plowed. So I don't think I will make a right there. I think I'm going to go find another right and do it that way. I found one where one previous car had gone through. There were 6 stop signs on this road. It was a residential street. I was the only one on it. I was probably the only idiot driving around Euclid other than people going to this basketball tournament. I said, bud, we're not stopping for any signs. We're blowing right through them. So Euclid PD, God bless you. If you got cams on stop signs, you got me. I drove right through them, man. I'm like, if I slow down, I'm done.
You're done.
I'm done. I got to keep the momentum going. Pull into the parking lot full of snow. Somehow they played basketball. The worst, as bad as any road conditions I've ever driven on.
They played and it was from dollars involved.
Well, of course. It was from, like, probably the worst was from, like, Parker Hannifin headquarters to Euclid. So that, however long that is, Euclid Middle School, High School, that stretch.
Wild.
Was that an all day? Was it still going when you got done?
The snow was done.
Oh, okay.
No. I was in the middle of it at 8, 9 in the morning, and then it was done by, we lost out in the noon game, so we were home by 1:30. It was cleared and the roads were good. But they were undrivable, as anyone who was there at that time can attest, as there were cars in the ditch everywhere, wrecks everywhere.
Two things. One, Nana.
It's March, brother.
Nana was out there and said it was the worst she's ever driven in.
She was in
well.
It?
Yeah, she was in it. Around. She said Nana. She stopped, but her car did not.
Oh, no.
But nobody else was out there, so she was fine.
God bless her.
So she was fine. The other comment I'm going to make is that I believe, and I played basketball from basically like first grade through high school. Mm-hmm. Look at him. Look at him.
Oh, he's got new kicks.
Bam. Look at that.
Some pestos. Yeah. Prestos.
I'm pretty sure by the time that NBC hits high school, he will have played significantly more basketball games than I played in my entire career.
I'm going to bet you that he's played more
right now
than he definitely has played more than I played in my career.
Than 100%
right
for
now,
me as well.
Through third, fourth, and fifth grade. For sure he has.
That's
played
wild.
I mean, he's played 180 basketball games last 3 years. 40 games in the leagues, and then at least 20 AAU games, maybe more each year, maybe more like 30. So you're talking 70 games a year. Oh, he does spring. He does fall ball too. Some of that, you get another 10 games in there. Yeah, he's playing 80 games a year. I mean, I didn't play. I didn't play 80 games in probably in my – I probably didn't play 100 ever.
The
total.
When I was in high school, we would play – we'd have like a 25-game season.
Yeah.
And that would count your – tournaments and everything.
So it all stops like once you get into seventh grade, then like the middle school stuff, it's contained. Like they play like 16 games. It's sanity. And then but the AAU stuff's a lot. But like for these little guys, they play these community leagues and then they play this AAU stuff. And you just chase it. It's crazy. Of course it's a money grab. It's all of those things, but everyone's doing it and no one has the guts to say, well, this is stupid. I'm not gonna do it. Unless their kids want to do it. No. It goes everywhere. It's worse in Florida. No, it's nuts. It's around the clock. It's crazy.
It's too much.
It is.
It's too much on their bodies.
It is. But the kids want to do it, and all their buddies are doing it. So are you going to be the one to say, well, you can't do it because – and then they're like, well, Dad, he's doing it and they're doing it. And this is what I want to do.
But it's not like they only play basketball.
No, I don't. He had lacrosse Saturday night. So it just stacks. It's one thing after another. But
yeah, you'll get some time off come Memorial Day.
I know it. I was talking to a great friend of mine. You know, I was on the way to one of these because Beamsy had stuff, and I was taking him to some lacrosse stuff. And he's like, "Where are you at?" He goes, he picked up the phone. He's like, "Are you on your way to basketball or lacrosse right now?" And I said, "Both." And he goes, "I know you're going to think this is crazy, but this is going to be gone in a blink. So just enjoy this stuff. Enjoy the car rides." And I do. I didn't tell that to get into all that, but just from the standpoint of like the snow, I've never seen a drive like that before in my life. Yeah. It was insane in March, and then it was just under that little spot.
Don't get your kids into swimming.
I'll tell you what seems like the worst. This feels like it's soccer.
Soccer is the worst.
Feels swimming like soccer does not end.
Swimming's intense because you practice every day.
Yeah, I think my retort to swimming was they all know how to swim.
I was good at, but I did swim. Yeah. I did basketball, and baseball, swimming, and then golf.
Competitive swimming where they have like two events
intense.
In 6 hours. For
oh my god,
two
those days
is about as brutal as it gets. Yeah. I can attest to that.
You can't complain. I mean, in the end, it's basketball. So, and I like, so it's all good, but
it's just a staggering amount.
It's a lot amount of games. It really is.
The burnout must be high.
What's that?
How do you play?
You did pretty good, but I mean, now the other thing with AAU is like. The difference between the great teams and the good teams is the Grand Canyon, and then the difference between the good teams and the bad teams is the Grand Canyon. Okay? So you can beat a team. We did yesterday. We beat a team by 22 in the morning, and then we were eliminated by the team that ended up winning it. They beat us by 22. So a 44-point swing in the same tournament. So there's no – it's really, really halves, nothing, and then the middle. And we're probably at the top end of the middle.
Well, at least there's a middle. When I play, there was.
But they don't do a good job of. They don't do a good job of the middle playing against the middle, and the great playing against the great, and the bad playing against the bad. So what I think happens is if you're on a bad team, what fun's this?
Feels like
and
awful.
You're playing against somebody who beats you 55-12. How great's that?
Yeah. The bad teams are just like, unfortunately, it's the high school team that's just. Hey, we're bonding and, you know,
sure.
we're just continuing the season so we can get ready for next season. Well, in AAU, that doesn't work.
No.
Because it's all about the all-star team.
It is, and it's all zone.
They need to have two divisions.
It's all zone defense, and it's all – Yeah. It is what it is. Whatever.
Who do you think came up with the idea that they would be able to monetize fourth and fifth graders to this extent?
Someone who's very rich. Yeah. Youth sports. I mean, Real Sports did the story on it, like these complexes that pop up, like the one you guys are at in Indy.
Like in Indy.
Yeah. I mean, that's you build an indoor facility. You got indoor facility with where you can do turf fields and then basketball and then even ice hockey. Like, you can be rented out constantly. Never not have tenants in it. And the other thing is, a parent, too, you get it, you say to yourself, well, am I doing this? Like, if he's not doing this, then what are they doing?
What's he doing?
Like, the weather sucks. You weren't going to be outside. It was 20 degrees and blowing. So if we're not doing this and we're just in the house doing stuff, like, how do we, you know? So it's a win in that sense. But, yeah, it's a lot. It really is.
It's really amazing.
We had a lot of news over the weekend here. Lots going on here.
A lot going on. Nothing I would consider major or significantly impacting the outcome of the 2023 season, but a lot.
Well, that hurts my lead a little.
Well, it's true.
114, Zagura's crushed the show for the day.
It's true. I mean, it's true.
It is true. Yeah. Some bodies coming in. Tight end Jordan Akins.
I like that.
We talked about Jordan Hurst. We talked about Akins and Hurst last week.
Yep.
We talked about those on Friday. And then Tristan Hill, the defensive tackle. Kunashik comes back.
Yeah.
So those are, you liked him a lot.
Love Kunashik.
Yeah.
Good dude. Great
Rappaport
name.
Reporting Mike Ford, a corner. These are special teams guys. All locking in. Anthony Walker Jr. being hosted on a free agent deal with the Commies today. That doesn't make me happy, nor do I think it would make much of our defense happy.
No, it's one of those things you feel like if he was coming back, it almost feels like he would have been back already, right? And I don't know what the rationale is there. Same for so many of our fans are excited about a guy named Mecole Hardman. I'm excited about him too. It feels like his market is, you know, he will come cheap, but these things aren't getting done. I mean, we have done a lot of little things. Like, for example, Maurice Hurst and Tristan Hill, I don't think there's any way, I guess that there is a way, that they both made the team, but it would be highly unlikely that they both make the team. Kunashik's a special teams guy. We also got another special teams guy from the Falcons, their cornerback Mike Ford, according to Ian Rapport, called him a special teams ace, signing with the Browns on a one-year deal. So that's to help, obviously, the special teams unit, Bubba Ventrone. But, you know, Akins, I think, is going to compete maybe with Harrison Bryan and to be that number two tight end. He's certainly more accomplished in his career than Harrison Bryan is to this point. But Chief is our tight end.
Yeah, the you know, and then the Brandon Cooks was traded to the Cowboys over the weekend. You and I had talked about him kind of being, and he'd had great chemistry with Watson, and that was, you know, another guy that we had kind of talked about.
It's just the money.
Yeah, and that's what it's going to be on a lot of – I think the tricky thing, you know, as we kind of laid out, was you had you're better off than you were a year ago. But there's always – we talked about this last week. There's always that thing in the back of your head that says, okay, but is that good enough to beat Kansas City? Is that good enough to beat Buffalo? Is that good enough to beat Cincinnati? Is it good enough to beat the Chargers? Like, that's – is it good enough to beat a Jets with Rodgers? Is it an ascending Lawrence in Jacksonville? Like, you're not in the NFC North. You're in the AFC and the AFC North. Mm-hmm. And so you need to – like, that's what needs to happen in order to go.
So, and again, the picture will not be complete until after the draft, but this is me talking, me personally. If the reports aren't, Pro Football Focus has lowered the projected number from Mecole Hardman to $4 million. For $4 million, I think that that guy has an opportunity to impact the outcome of multiple games this year, especially some of these track meets that you're talking about. Is he a complete receiver? Of course not. That's why he's going. That's why the number is what it is. But does he have a few tricks that he's elite at? Yes, he does. He's a red zone threat. We struggle in the red zone. He's a guy that changes the calculus in the red zone with his ability to get horizontal. He's a guy who can get vertical and make big plays and threaten a defense that way as well. So for $4 million, to me, he has a better chance of helping us get somewhere of significance than all of these little $1 million signings do.
Yeah.
So, and I you need them, right? You need to fill out your roster. So I understand why we're having these signings. But to me right now, that's a guy that if we had that, you truly can go into the draft and kind of go wherever you want.
I don't think you can go into the draft having not filled that position. I wouldn't want to be in that position. You can, but I wouldn't, because the other thing is what's the hit rate on receivers, especially where you're picking? Yeah. I mean, it's hard. Like, you're not getting the best guy on the board. You're trying to find a diamond in the rough. 42, you can get an established guy, but there's always going to be a flaw, otherwise he would have been a one.
Sure. And I think that 42, honestly, this is a great spot for an edge. I think it's a great spot for a running back. It's an elite spot for a running back. I mean, that's where you would be able to get a star on a rookie deal. And I think that eventually, we're not there yet, obviously, but that's going to have to be something that we're going to think about. I think when our fans think out loud, and you know, we're going to get to some grades that are completely independent of us. I think the Browns have done a very good job addressing their needs and doing it in a very fiscally responsible manner. They've signed as many people as just about any team in the league, honestly. They have been aggressive in free agency. And I know we all want everybody to get every great player to come be a Cleveland Brown. It's just not, unfortunately, the way that it works. However, I do think that, you know, we are a team that is hamstrung in some respect by the fact that we are paying top money to two guards and a running back, which I think if you were to ask Paul DePodesta and Andrew Berry and, you know, in their true roster creation, like if they could have done it any way they wanted to, would they have significantly invested into two guards and a running back? The answer is probably no. They probably don't want to ever have a running back on a second contract, if they're being honest about it. But Nick Chubb is special and has done everything the right way. And how do you not keep that guy in your organization? And then, you know, Betonio, same thing. Now you can, and then you pay Wyatt Teller because he's put back-to-back Pro Bowls. He's played well for you also. But at some point, that's where you got to let Bill Callahan be Bill Callahan and make stars out of, you know, clay. And so I think we are hamstrung in what we want to do in some respect because of that truism that I just laid out, not to mention you've got Miles on a big contract, you've got your quarterback on a big contract, you got your number one receiver on a big contract, you got your number one corner on a big contract. Those would all be fine, but when you also have two guards and a running back being paid near the top of the market at their respective positions, that's hard.
Mm-hmm.
And that limits your ability to do things elsewhere.
Yeah. Yep, it sure does. So that's where you stand. And meantime, the NFL continues to move. Lots of news over the weekend. Some ancillary moves, some big names that are still out there. Still nothing on the two quarterback front from deals being made there. Lots to get to on the program today. We got a little Juan Thornhill. Don't we have at the podium? We do. We do have that as well. We'll get into some free agent grades for us as well. Have a little fun with the NCAA tournament over the weekend. Do you have a note?
Yeah, I was just going to back up, buttress what I was saying earlier to just, like, close this out.
Go ahead.
Our top cap numbers for this season, are Myles Garrett, Amari Cooper, Deshaun Watson, quarterback, wide receiver, edge, makes sense, Wyatt Teller, Nick Chubb, Joel Bitonio. Running back, guard, guard.
Yeah.
Three of your top six salaries are running back, guard, guard.
Yeah, that's what makes it tough.
Yeah.
All right, we'll go around the NFL landscape, get you updated on all of that coming up next. We're off and running on a Monday edition, Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, coming soon to Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, coming soon to Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Renew your home for the last time with Renew Home Exterior Siding and Roofing Products. Don't spend all day with high-pressure sales, guys. Go see my friends at Renew. The team at Renew Home Exteriors won't waste your day. Not with hours of negotiating the price of your project. They're just going to give you an upfront, fair price, make your project easy. Modernize your home, premium siding ranging in every style and color. Renew Home Exteriors, superior products, superior service. Visit renewestimate.com. A flurry of news over the weekend in the National Football League. The Panthers have signed wide receiver Adam Thielen, 3 years, $25 million. Panthers are being pretty aggressive.
They are. Now, it's going to be interesting. You'd think it's a C.J. Stroud. It's supposedly it's C.J. Stroud or Anthony Richardson for them. Bryce Young is apparently not even in the conversation for them. Look at that. Look at that mop that he just flipped back.
He's
there.
Getting it. You can tell it's bringing it back. That's like it's interesting. He goes opposite. He goes long summer, short winter.
Yeah.
I've noticed that.
It's odd.
Yeah.
This is an odd.
It was opposite.
Oppo.
Feels like it'll be Stroud.
You would think.
It's funny. Like, you saw Sims had Stroud number one today. There was somebody else. It was McShay was all over. Like, it's like finally everyone has, like, watched his Georgia game.
And they're like, oh, yeah.
And we're like, oh, this is what he can do against the very best teams in college
and
football.
And they're probably already hearing Bryce Young is small.
Right.
And
some very – it's almost like they're trying to retroactively
change their
analysis based on where the draft's going to go. A very astute follower of mine named John Schaefer with a response to I don't remember a better closing argument. Boy, the way you lit up when I said that day was really exciting. The way that CJ's hell of a closing argument.
Yeah, I saw that.
To walk
nice
out that way. And he
I
said,
do follow you.
He followed a – it's nice of you. He said, similar to Burrow. And I said, yeah, pretty good. You know, if you think about what Burrow did – because there was whispers around Burrow, and then it was like, wow, that's too much. He's so great in the SEC title game, the semifinal, and then the final. And CJ had that in one. He just had it in a loss.
I just don't know.
One game.
I just don't know who's going to really throw the ball to.
I don't either. I guess Adam Thielen.
So a lot of our fans were furious that we didn't get Adam Thielen.
He's not what you need.
What does Adam Thielen do that we don't have? I was miffed by – and he's 32.
And has anyone paid attention the last couple of years from a health standpoint with him?
Yeah. A great, great player, unbelievable story. Kevin Stefanski would light up talking about Adam Thielen.
Yeah.
Undrafted.
Sure.
Incredible story, but not what we needed at all.
No, no, no. You're good in that. You need is what you need.
Yeah. And look, Amari, very good vertically last year. Donovan Peoples-Jones, very good vertically last year. We don't have just a catch and run, dangerous, all of that, speed, space creator. That's what we need. And I'm not saying we need a true number one. But I'll tell you what, right now, Nathan Zagura, bring me McColl.
Yeah.
I'm biased. But I think that he's the kind of athlete that we need, and it's cheap right
he's
now.
He's the best that you can get at what you can offer.
Now, what's interesting is the rumors about Odell. And am I intrigued by that? Absolutely. I loved when Odell was here. We liked him.
I also think, like, yes, but I also think it's been a really long time since he was 2016 Giants Odell Beckham Jr.
He was very good for the Rams.
He was, but that's another major lower body injury between then and now.
No doubt.
And that team also had Cooper Kupp winning the Triple Crown in that offense. So they had a lot going on.
They did. But if he was a piece if you had Odell, Donovan, and Amari out there, I think you'd feel okay about that. Now, one thing the reason I was mentioning that is maybe he's not somebody who signs soon, because we have to carry, with John Johnson being given that post June 1st designation, we have to carry that $9 million on our cap until June 1st. So when June 1st, the way that the Clowney deal was done, which we had to release him to, at June 1st, we're going to get about almost $11 million of cap space on June 1st from John Johnson and Clowney. So we have room to sign somebody then, which would make sense. It would be somebody that had been with us. I'm not saying it in any way, shape, or form we're signing Odell.
Yeah.
But he's the kind of guy that you could sign then. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'd love to. I mean, I loved him. He was great.
Great. We need a little, again, I think people.
Weapons.
You just need weapons. You can't have enough weapons. No. This is a league where you've got to score, and we've got to score a ton to come out of this conference. And forget that. Like, let's just start with winning this division. And yes, we've had the Bengals number, but we've got to score consistently. And a lot of that will fall on the shoulders of our quarterback, Deshaun Watson, and rightfully so. But we have got to win, and we have got to score consistently.
Yes, without question. So that's, yeah, I mean, I think that all of those things add up. Former Eagles safety C.J. Gardner-Johnson, 1 year, $8 million for the Lions. I really like what the Lions have done this offseason.
They're
like
the favorites in the division. They've got to be.
And they got two first-round picks.
Yeah.
They're nice. I like that team.
They're looking to add more weapons, too, by the way.
Yeah.
They are in contact with some of the remaining weapons that are out there. C.J. Gardner-Johnson's one of those, you know, supposedly, and again, who's now their agent tried to say that's not true. They offered us kind of a bogus 3-year deal to the Eagles, but the word is that the Eagles offered him more money initially. He thought he could do better in free agency. He didn't. Now he's on a 1-year deal. And now clearly there is something around C.J. Gardner-Johnson, which is why he was given up by the Saints, and we know that he's fought teammates and things of that nature, that he was able to be had for 1 year, $8 million. But the guy led the NFL in interceptions last year, and there's no denying that he's a very, very good football player.
None at all. I like this move from the Texans. They're signing Laremy Tunsil, 3-year deal, 75. You're going to draft a quarterback at 2, protect him.
Hey, how about that guy?
It's amazing.
So I remember that draft night vividly.
Very well, yeah.
He was going to go
top 5, wasn't
it? Top 2, maybe. He was going to be the first non-quarterback taken, a lot of people thought. And then
happened the day, right?
The night. Like, as in, we'd done our pre-draft show, and between the time that we got off pre-draft show and that the draft started, which was 30 minutes, we were at a place downtown. We had this whole, like, Browns party set up, and all of a sudden you see him wearing a gas mask taking bong rippers, and he still only fell to, like, what, 11?
In the teens? Somewhere between 10 and 15. I don't know where, but it's somewhere between 10 and 15.
And he has now gone on to reset the tackle market, not once, but twice.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was picked number 13 overall.
Yeah.
13 overall.
Yeah.
It was 2016, the 2016.
We were
draft.
Just kind of figuring out.
Pretty
like,
sure it was Corey Coleman for us, if I'm not mistaken.
One of the first examples I could think of where it was like, oh, camera phone. Shoot. You know? Like, now we're so much more cognizant of it.
Yeah.
But at that time, there weren't too many instances of like, wait, you did what on a phone?
Yeah.
Those were more rare at that point. But he's obviously pushed through quite well. Cardinals have agreed to terms wide receiver Zach Pascal, 2-year deal. You mentioned Odell Beckham Jr. He said on Saturday on Twitter, I'm so confused where the quote is for me saying I want 20. All I'm saying is 4 ain't enough. The market is what the market is, buddy.
And you made the very valid point earlier that there's, you know, quite a bit that he's got to sort out, right? I mean, this is there's quite a bit that needs to be sorted out with in terms of what you can reasonably expect him to do on the football field for you. By the way, I'm looking at this 2016 draft. Chris Jones in the second round, all-time, the leading sackers from this draft. This is a pretty good draft. Chris Jones was in the second round. He's got 65. Yannick Ngakoue was in the third round. He's got 65. Matthew Judon from a Grand Valley State.
Jeez.
Fifth-round pick. Fifth-round pick of the Ravens, 62.5. Bosa, who went third, 60.5. He's only played 49 games, though. I'm sorry, he's only played 84 games. Everybody else has played at least 110. And then DeForest Buckner, Leonard Floyd, Javon Hargrave. Like, that's...
Holy cow, that's talent.
Not bad. Not bad.
That's 16?
That's 16 draft. Yep. And we had number two, if you recall.
This is the Wentz.
This is
trade
Wentz.
Back, trade back.
Trade to Tennessee. Tennessee takes Conklin at 8. And then you trade back to 19, I think, or 15, and that's where we got.
So Tennessee came up to get 2?
Tennessee, no. Philly came up
came
to get 2.
That's what I thought.
And we went to 8.
Oh,
then
and
we
then
traded
with
Tennessee,
Tennessee,
who came up to take Jack Conklin, and we took Corey Coleman.
Who's the next receiver off the board?
Hold on. I got to get it like lined up right.
In 2016.
All right, so Corey Coleman goes 15th to us. Will Fuller, 21st.
Mm.
Josh Doctson, whose career did not materialize like you would have thought out of TCU. Laquon Treadwell was 23rd. But he's still in the league.
Yeah.
You gotta give, he's hung around.
More than some of those cats.
Then it goes to the second round. Sterling Shepard at 40. Michael Thomas at 47, which for a time appeared to be...
Well, it still would have been, but it also, like, he was a perfect place at the right time. And also, he was never anybody that, at that time at Ohio State, had tested.
Tyler Boyd, 55. Tyler Boyd's a very nice career.
Yeah. Yeah, that is. Yeah, those that's tough.
Yeah.
Coleman sitting there.
Yeah.
It's hard, man. The drafting of this stuff is hard. The
draft is very hard. That's why to even theorize that you would be able to, good God, listen to who got drafted in the fifth round of this draft. You ready for this?
Give it to me.
Judon, who I mentioned, who's a stud. Connor McGovern's been a very good guard for Denver. That's not that exciting. Jordan Howard, who burst on the scene, had a real nice career running the football. How about these two picks back-to-back in the fifth round? I wonder if these might be the best two back-to-back fifth-round picks ever. And I know that's hyperbole. Tyreek Hill, round 5, 1-6. Actually, three in a row. The Palapuvati Vatai, the tackle for the Eagles,
yep,
is 164. Tyreek Hill is 165. And DJ Reader is 166.
I think you could say that that's the best three fifth-round picks consecutively picked.
I do think that's fair.
I think that's probably true.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah.
It's amazing how people get missed. It happens. All right, coming up next, Juan Thornhill. He was available at the podium. We will have that for you coming up next. You'll listen to Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, coming soon to Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, coming soon to Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
New way to churn your Cleveland Browns, help of your favorite four-legged companion, Barking Backers, presented by Milkbone, the Browns' newest club for pet parents worldwide. Sign up today at BarkingBackers.com. Barking Backers, the fan club for dogs. And now new safety, Juan Thornhill, at the podium from Friday. Let's have a listen.
Hey, Juan, how you doing? Congrats. Welcome to Cleveland. Hey, how much time have you spent talking to Jim Schwartz, if at all?
We was up there talking, I would say, maybe like 30, 45 minutes or something like that. But he got me pumped up. That's all I can say. Like, already just like talking a little bit about football, this game, how he see me in the defense, and he got me ready to go for sure.
Well, how does he see you? And if it's center field or deep safety, just how comfortable are you in that role?
I mean, I'm very comfortable. I mean, I think I'm that guy that can cover from sideline to sideline. No matter where the ball's going to go, I can see myself going to get it. But I can tell that he likes those guys that can do multiple jobs, being able to cover man-to-man, being down in the box, playing in a deep half and in a third. So he definitely see me as that guy that can do all the different roles.
Hey, Juan, welcome to Cleveland. Wanted to ask you, you know, you've been part of two Super Bowl championship teams. What kind of gravitas does that sort of give you as you walk into that locker room to kind of, you know, kind of set a tone, be a leader, you know, from day one?
I mean, when you're a part of a team that's been able to go to multiple Super Bowls and win multiple Super Bowls, you're willing to take that wherever you go. I have the experience winning two of them and being in three. So I know what it feels like to be in that big game, and I know what it takes to win. So that's what I'm going to bring with me. I'm going to bring that energy, and I'm going to bring it to my teammates as well. And if I see someone like slacking, I'm gonna let them know, like, that's not the way to go about it. Like, let's pick it up so we can get to where we want to be.
How much did, while you're with Kansas City, how much did you kind of grow into a role like that, you know, with them?
I started off kind of quiet. I mean, I was a rookie, not really knowing too much, like just listening to the older guys. But as time went on, I became one of the older guys in the room, and I had a bunch of rookies that I had to depend on this season. Like we had four to five rookies this year that had to play. And I was looked at as that guy that had to be the leader. So I had to be that teacher in the room and be the guy that they can lean on if something was to go wrong and to lift them up.
Hey, Juan, just wondering, you know, in looking at your Twitter and just kind of getting the vibe of you being here for this little short amount of time, you know, you're kind of embracing the whole dog pound, the land and all that kind of stuff. So what has your reception been so far from Browns fans, and how do you know, about the vibe of the land and the dog pound and all that stuff?
The Browns fans have been amazing. Like, they've been messaging me. They've been showing all of their support since the day that, I mean, the announcement came out, but I'm super excited about it because I've heard many good things about the dog pound. The fans out here are crazy, and that's what I love to be a part of. When I come out that tunnel, I want the fans to jack me up and make me ready to run through a wall, and that's what I hear about Cleveland, and I'm excited.
Hey, Juan, welcome to Cleveland. I want to ask you, it looked like the Chiefs and Browns were starting to develop a little bit of a rivalry there, played in the playoffs, then had that season opener. It was real, you know, competitive. Just from your perspective, because a lot of those guys are still on this team, just what was your impression of the Browns and how close they were? And do you feel like you're a player that can kind of come in here and help this group get over the top and get to where you were in Kansas City?
So with Cleveland, I remember playing them, and I just remember them being a team that was like willing to run down your throat and punch you in the mouth like early. So that just shows that they have the ability to get to the big game. And I feel like I'm that type of player that can add to the defense and help them get to where they want to go. And I mean, I'm excited to play next to Myles Garrett and Grant Delpit and those guys, because I've been watching a little bit of their film, and I just feel like they're really good players that can and help us win.
And you're not a guy that was a role player in KC. You were a starter, and you're going to obviously come in here and be a starter. Just how would you describe yourself as a player? What type of safety are you? Are you a ball hawk? Are you a guy that just gets up in guys' faces? Just how would you describe yourself as a player?
So I've always been taught to be that guy, to never allow your coach to take you off the field. So I would see me as being that guy that can do everything. He can cover, be down in the box, make plays. He can blitz, sack the quarterback. I want to be that guy that can take control of a game and go get the ball when it's in the air and cause fumbles when it's that time to make that big play.
Hey, Juan, welcome to Cleveland. Having been to the Super Bowl all those times, kind of to piggyback off Chris's question earlier, what do you think is the most difficult part of getting to that game, or something people don't know about how hard it is to get there?
I mean, it's very hard, honestly. You have to stay disciplined, like, for the whole season. As you see in the NFL, some teams start fast and finish slow. Some teams start slow and finish fast. So it's all about just staying disciplined. And getting to multiple Super Bowls is even harder. Once you win one, you got a target on your back each and every week because everybody's trying to knock down the top dog. So it's definitely hard to get there.
And then obviously you were part of that Kansas City team that broke a pretty long drought for the Chiefs. You were part of that pride. I know you didn't play in that game, but what was that like? And can you imagine kind of that here in Cleveland?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like I said before, like all of the pieces are here. Got a really good quarterback, receivers. The defense is super strong. I feel like all of the pieces are here. We have that capability of getting there and making a splash in the playoffs and making it to the Super Bowl. And I have all confidence in that.
Hey Juan, welcome to Cleveland. Nice to meet you. You just got here, but you know, have you gotten any reaction about your arrival from some of your new teammates? What does that look like for you so far?
I've talked to some of my teammates. There's a couple guys that reached out. They seem pretty pumped that I'm here, and that's pretty much it. But I'm excited to get up for OTAs and get to know the guys a lot more and to start working together so we can work towards our dream and getting back to that Super Bowl.
And you said you had talked to Jim Schwartz. He kind of pumped you up. But when you were looking at the Browns, even before you signed, do you see a part of your game that you think is going to be able to really shine here on this defense with the guys that are on this roster?
I do. I definitely do. Like I said, with Coach Schwartz, he drew up a couple plays on the board, and I just like what he was drawing up. But I can see me stepping in and playing a big role and helping his team tremendously and making a lot of plays for this team as well.
Hey Juan, welcome. Just kind of wanted to ask, I asked Dalvin a similar question yesterday, but as you kind of come to a new team, and especially for you, you know, with JJ3 not here anymore, he was kind of a big leader in this secondary. So what's your leadership style? And especially when you're coming to a new team and you're kind of the new guy in that secondary now?
You know, you always got to walk in and try to like figure out what it's going to be like. So I'm not going to be that guy that's going to step in and just try to take over everything. I'm going to figure out how things are going to go, but I'm not that type of guy that's going to be on the field yelling at everyone, telling them, let's go push yourself. And I'm not that type of guy. I'm the one that's going to lead by example. But if you're not working hard, I will step up and say something, but I'm not going to be the guy that's going to like put you on blast in front of the whole team. I'll come up to you personally and let you know.
And then just getting to Cleveland and getting in the building for, I assume, your first day, just what is your first overall like impression been, kind of a broad question?
I mean, it's amazing. Like I came here not knowing what to expect, and I try to do that everywhere I go. And definitely it has impressed me. Like the facilities are truly amazing here. I got here last night actually. And the first thing I looked at was downtown, and it shocked me. Like it was really beautiful. And I wasn't expecting it. So I'm excited to get here and actually be able to work my way around and see what everything's like.
Hey, Juan, obviously you're confident in your new team and motivated to get back to the Super Bowl. But how hard is it leaving a team that you had so much success with and just won a Super Bowl?
I mean, it's really hard. It's hard because you build those relationships with the guys in the locker room. And when you build those relationships, you don't want to leave. But it's part of business. Some teams can't bring you back. And at the same time, you can see yourself fitting in a different organization and helping them become way better or making it to the Super Bowl and adding your skill set to that defense and to make us so much better. And I'm excited for that.
Yeah, Juan, just wondering, so on the defensive side of the ball, the Browns have added a lot of new players this week in Dalvin and Obo and you and a couple of other guys. I'm wondering, do you feel like a defense can change from a culture standpoint overnight? And if so, what's it going to take?
It definitely can. It can change in a better way and also can go downhill as well. If you add bad pieces to a defense and bad people to a defense, you can bring in cancer into the locker room, and that's not something that you want. But if you bring in good people into an organization and bring them into the defense, you can have those guys that can motivate each other to push each other to get better each and every week.
And do you feel like that's what you're feeling here? Is that the vibe that you're getting, that there's like an infusion of some new energy and some really good guys?
I definitely do. I think the guys that were here as well, they can feel it. Like they reached out and was welcoming to be here. And that just shows that the guys are excited for this season and they care about who actually comes into this locker room.
Hey Juan, I wanted to ask you about the other AFC North quarterbacks. Obviously you've had a couple of battles with Joe Burrow. Mm-hmm. Now you get Lamar Jackson twice a year. And then of course the Steelers have Kenny Pickett. So just if you could, your thoughts on coming into a very highly competitive division with some really, really good quarterbacks.
It's going to be hard each and every week. I've had the chance to play against, I think, Lamar a couple of times. So I kind of know what his game is like. Played against Joe Burrow a couple of times. So I know what he likes to do as well. The only one that I haven't had a chance to play against is Kenny Pickett. But the thing is, like, I've heard a lot of good things about him as well. It's going to take hard work and dedication each and every week, because these guys, they have the capability to wreck games. They have great arms. And with Lamar Jackson, if you look at him, the guy can throw the ball and run as well, so he can beat you by himself. It's going to be hard each and every week, and you got to prepare as if, like, each week is a Super Bowl.
And I know you were asked about leadership earlier and coming in and trying to be one of those vocal leaders on the field and in the locker room. One of the issues the Browns had last year was communication on the field in games. Just what can you do maybe to be that guy to settle that down and just make sure everybody's where they're supposed to be, doing what they're supposed to do, without it, becoming like you're out there trying to take things over, if you know what I'm saying.
And in the NFL, like, this game is all about who makes the least amount of mistakes. And if you're on the field making mistakes, that's going to cause you to lose football games. And one thing that I'm going to try to bring everybody together to make sure we're all on the same page. And that's simply by just, like, hanging out in the locker room or going out to dinner together, like doing things like that, that just build that bond. And you will know what your teammates are capable of. You know their strengths and weaknesses. So when you come together like that, it just allows you to play so much better.
I was wondering for you, what does it look like to get integrated with that teammates, ideally this early? You just got here, you're getting a lay of the land, getting a lay for Cleveland, but what does it look like early on and of getting that chemistry going so you're ready to go?
So with me, I'm just going to, like I said, I'm just going to take it slow. I'm not going to get in and just, like, put my foot down and try to, like, make it my way. But what I'm going to do is just, like, just try to get to know my teammates a little bit more, like, know things that they like to do, like, outside of football. And so we can get together outside of football and just, like, come together and build that brotherhood. That's going to allow us to play better, like I said before. And that's going to make us more elite than any X and O's. You can study football all day, but if you don't know what your teammates' strengths and weaknesses are, you're not going to be good. So that's my main goal, is just to get to know my teammates.
All right, coming up at the top of the hour, we'll take a look at the free agency through the eyes of others. Are the Browns winners or losers? We'll get to that coming up next. You listen to Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, coming soon to Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, coming soon to Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Elk and Elk Serious Lawyers, Serious Injuries. Call 1-800-ELK-OHIO for a free case review. Elk and Elk is a proud partner of your Cleveland Browns. Little free agency grading from around the AFC North so far. What are we? Sometimes my days run together. Are we 2 weeks into this or a week into this?
1 week.
1 week's done. It feels like two, doesn't it?
Yes.
In many ways?
Yep.
It feels like two. There was so much last week, and then we're still sitting on those two quarterbacks. Doesn't seem like the Jets and Packers are anywhere closer to a deal there. And I've heard nothing on Lamar Jackson.
No. He's going to do his own interview. He's interviewing himself.
He's come again?
He's interviewing himself on his YouTube channel, I think, or his Instagram. He teased us at the end of last week.
Oh, I missed that.
An exclusive where he's going to...
Lamar knows Lamar?
I don't know if he's really interviewed, but he said it's my exclusive interview with myself.
One of the great books, Bo Knows Bo by Dick Schaap.
Yeah. Well, it's like Austin Powers. Allow myself
to introduce.
To introduce myself. Try to get my kids to watch that, and they were like, eh.
Come on.
I was like, just trust me, you will love
Why
it.
Why didn't they want to see it?
They didn't think it looked that funny. The trailer was good, not great, I will say.
Do you think we just had so much institutional knowledge of Mike Myers that just trusted you almost anything that he was going to do?
And also, they probably have no Bond references. So, like, all of the Bond stuff.
They didn't watch, like, Skyfall. But Bond was different.
back
then.
That's
the other part of it. Bond was campy then. Bond isn't campy anymore.
Correct.
He's Jason Bourne.
Right. No, yeah. I'm talking Sean Connery.
Oh, Roger Moore was Roger the height
Moore.
Of campy
Roger
Bond.
Moore is
like,
unbelievable.
Roger Moore was my guy. Yeah, like, that guy was unbelievable.
The names were outrageous.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, maybe. I don't know. I think it would hold up just fine.
I know it would.
Yeah, I feel like it's going to be a win. It's also one of those ones that's not – that's very rarely on.
Never.
I never see it.
Goldmember is unbelievably rewatchable.
All three of them are. The
For
one
sure.
with Heather Graham's incredible with
– That's the
when
second.
When they're in England. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the second.
And he goes back to the 60s.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. The first one's Elizabeth Hurley, right?
Yeah, International Man Mystery. Then there's The Spy Who Shagged Me. And
right.
And Goldmember.
They're all
great.
They're great.
That's
yeah,
what I told him. Like, yeah, we'll have three movies that you're going to love.
Yeah.
We're really in with the kids into Mandalorian right now. Season 3 Mandalorian came out. Good.
Yeah. We watched the first one. I got to bring him back into the second. All right. Free agency grades and ranking. So he's going to allow himself to introduce himself. So that'll be fun to – see how that goes.
How dare you break wind before me? Sorry, baby. Didn't know it was your turn. So good.
This from CBS Sports 2023 NFL free agency team by team grades.
Yep.
The Cowboys earn an A, while the Bears, Eagles, Seahawks are among the winners as well. In our division, the Ravens getting a D grade. These are very incomplete because obviously free agency isn't done. Bengals getting a B plus, Steelers getting a B plus, and we got a B from CBS. Sports.
All right, so this is the CBS one, then we're going to get into sporting news. So here's what CBS had to say. For the Ravens, you mentioned the D. Key additions. Ravens right now are one of the few teams that have signed nobody. Key re-signings, Trayvon Mullen, Justice Hill, Geno Stone, Justice Hill. Obviously, Lamar Jackson is there. We'll see what happens with the Ravens. As for us, the Cleveland Browns, B. Clowney waiting his way through the waters free agency. It was important for Cleveland to find a new pass rusher. They did that with Oboe. Solid add at a good price. The Browns' defensive line retooling didn't stop there. They got Dalvin Tomlinson. Two signings could allow Cleveland to be a force up front, critical in a division with Joe Burrow, most likely Lamar Jackson still. Adding Chief safety Juan Thornhill fills the hole left by the release of John Johnson nicely is what he has to say there.
Well, but it's not even that, though, because he's not what John Johnson was. I mean, he's a
he will
safety,
be
but other than that,
better
that's
for what we're trying to do. Yeah, and John, we love John.
I loved him, yeah.
All right.
Miscast, unfortunately.
Cincinnati, obviously, you get Orlando Brown. They get Cody Ford as they continue to retool that line. That's what they're doing. Kept one of their leaders in Jermaine Pratt, big fan, a CBD favorite. But as he says, now the real work begins figuring out how to extend Burrow, Jamar Chase, and T. Higgins.
They knew they were losing Bates. I think they were surprised that they would have loved to have had Bell back at the right price. They would have loved to have Hurst. I think Hurst is the one that they thought they'd be able to keep.
Yeah,
they couldn't.
So the Steelers, their big signings, they get Pat Pete. They get two guards, Isaac Simalo from the Eagles, Nate Herbig from the Jets. They get a linebacker in Cole Holcomb. They did lose Cam Sutton, but Pat Peterson pretty good. They got a couple, as we mentioned, a couple of guards as well. So we'll see there. The Sporting News one is actually a little bit of a better, I'll say it's a better article because it tells you who they signed, who they re-signed, and who they lost all in one place, which I find to be very, very useful.
So the Sporting News, NFL free agency grades, ranking signings, trades, all 32 teams, best to worst. The Bears, the best, and the worst, the Packers,
yep,
is where that stands. Our division, they like a lot, with the exception of the Ravens.
So for us, again, he says Browns cleaned up their roster well of pieces they didn't need anymore, kept two key players, Tomlinson, Okoronkwo, and Thornhill are three new starters who can have a significant impact on the defense, and they kept Posick and Taki Taki. The Bengals, here's the thing with the Bengals. So they get Brown, they get Ford, but Jesse Bates, Von Bell, Samaje Perine, Ryan Hayden Hurst, and Eli Apple were all five major contributors for them a year ago. I think
they were prepared for Bates by the drafting of Dax Hill.
Yep.
I think they're fine with Eli Apple. He ended up being more of a pain in the neck than he was worth by the end. Bell, I think, surprised.
Still started for them.
He did.
Three of their top five DBs are gone.
I think they're fine. I think they're relatively okay with that one. The Bell one, like I mentioned, is one where they thought that there was a middle ground there.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't go over their price. And Hurst was surprising for them.
Yep.
To lose him.
Steelers, again, upgraded the offensive line. Keep Larry Ogunjobi. They lose Cam Sutton, but replace him with Pat Pete. They like that. And then you got to go to 31 for the Ravens. Again, they haven't signed anybody. They re-signed Trayvon Mullen, Justice Hill, Geno Stone. They've lost Calais Campbell, tight end Josh Oliver, guard Ben Powers, who is good, as well as a backup center. So their whole thing is all about, obviously, Lamar Jackson there. But I think the Browns, look, you can't address everything in free agency. I know everybody wants to. I still think they did a very good job on the defensive side of the ball. We're still missing that receiver piece, which, again, we've talked about, is a luxury piece. I will remind people, with Jacoby Brissett as our quarterback and the current receivers and running backs and tight ends that we have, we were a top 10 offense in the NFL through 11 games. Top 10. So we should be even better with Deshaun Watson just right off the out of the gate, but you want to have more weapons.
I think there's – all right. I just want to double-check to make sure I'm comfortable saying this. In terms of drastically changing the direction of a franchise,
yep.
The Bears offseason
yep.
does that, provided yep. Fields takes the appropriate steps. But they went from a team – pretty void of talent to one that has a lot, that's in a really advantageous position drafting for the next couple of years.
Yep.
So I think, but not to the point of contender. The Jets are incomplete. I mean, they put key additions, trade pending Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers wants to play for the Jets. They want him to play there. The Packers are under no duty to acquiesce to that in any way. And if they don't, they absolutely don't even have a quarterback. It would be Zach Wilson. So
yep.
at this point, the Jets have done nothing that would change the trajectory of them. I honestly think there's only one team that's like went from that has a dramatically different standing. Like all this time on free agency, the Detroit Lions are the only team to me that I look at and go, okay, that team just missed the playoffs.
Yeah.
And now they might look to be a first round home field.
Yeah.
Win the division.
Yes. Yes. Agreed.
I mean, the rest of these teams that are high-grade teams, they're not changing the trajectory of a franchise to the point where it changes their standing. If there's a pecking order in the league of, like, contender, playoff team, chasing the playoffs, non-contender, road to nowhere, tanking, if you want to go those five categories, the Lions are the only one that have changed their spot.
Yeah. So this – right. This would be potential playoff because it's the NFC, right?
Yeah.
And with the Bears, to your point, yeah. Lions, boom. To the moon. They're, I think, division favorites. Yeah,
I agree.
After that,
no one's really changed their standing.
I would say that if you were somebody who was a believer in Dan Dimes, you would say that the Giants have improved their standing a little bit for him with Waller and Paris Campbell, right?
Yeah.
And you keep Saquon Barkley, you keep Dan Dimes, you keep Slayton, you keep Sterling Shepard. But they're still, I would imagine, on paper, third in their division at best.
Yeah, because one of the other teams that kind of held form so far more than people thought is the Eagles.
Right.
I mean, the running at Bradbury, Graham, Slay, Fletcher Cox, Kelsey, all those guys came back.
Yep.
And they thought that maybe they'd lose some of them, and they didn't.
Yeah, they ended up losing Chauncey Gardner-Johnson.
Yeah.
That's and Hargrave.
It. Yeah. So there's everybody else in here. To me, it looks like they kind of either status quo. Obviously, we would be one who have changed our trajectory, but that's more tied to Watson playing a full year than anything else.
100%.
So, yeah. I mean, Cincinnati's gotten better on the offense by adding what they added to the offensive line, but they got some things they got to sort out, too.
Yeah.
It just wasn't, from a free agency standpoint, there just weren't those game-changing players dealt.
Correct.
Like Carr, I guess Carr to the Saints. They went from a, non-playoff team to what feels like a playoff team with Carr. So I guess that changes a little bit.
But again, it's only because of where they are.
Because of where they play.
It's only because of where they are.
Yeah.
I mean, they're the favorite in that division.
Yes.
I mean, the NFC, you have a team in the Saints that is going to be the favorite in the NFC South. The Lions are most likely going to be the favorite in the NFC North. And then the Eagles and the Niners. But now the Lions, I wouldn't count that team out, but it feels like your NFC champion as of today is only coming out of either the West or the East.
I would say that it feels right now like it's only coming out of Philadelphia or San Francisco.
Fine. Yes. Also true.
Bore it down even tighter. I mean, it's kind of just...
The Cowboys are always good. It's just they never get it done.
They can't do anything, man.
Yeah.
I like the Cooks addition for them.
Same.
I mean, I think that helps them, but they still have to... There's still a step that they have to take. And then the NFC West just fell off a cliff.
Yeah.
You know, all those teams kind of evaporated a little bit. So, yeah, I think it's Philly or San Francisco. And if the other thing is, if the Saints, the Lions, if those teams are in the AFC, they wouldn't sniff it. Lions would be intriguing, but they're not
We would add them
of like,
no, they would be like the 12th team in this,
yeah, like
conference.
Pittsburgh or somebody in that mix.
Yeah, they'd probably believe as much as we do. Is that justified? I don't know. We haven't proven
there,
anything.
True,
different.
There's. Yeah, I think that there's is, and I like Goff a lot. I just think that there's still kind of a only so far
sure
thing here.
Yep,
with him. So that's where you stand on that. But high praise from what we've done to this point from both CBS and the Sporting News on what has happened in free agency. An absolutely wild first weekend of the NCAA tournament. We'll get into that coming up next. You'll listen to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily brought to you by Ballybet. Coming soon to Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Be part of the most passionate fan bases in the National Football League. Join the Browns season ticket member waitlist today for the best chance securing tickets for all your home games and future seasons. Don't miss out. Go to clevelandbrowns.com/tickets or call 440-891-5050 to reserve your spot today. This is fun. We'll listen to some of the great calls from the round one of the NCAA tournament. A ton of thrilling stuff, a ton of big-time upsets. Upsets, quite frankly, that are more to the norm than they ever been before. We'll get into kind of why that is in just a second. Let's take a tour down the radio row from Westwood One. This is Fairleigh Dickinson's 3-point dagger against Purdue in the first round on Friday.
1:15 to go. FDU by a pair, trying to stun the basketball world. Singleton dribbling on the March Madness logo, living up to its name, the Madness. Moore, three, top of the key, got it. Moore holding the gooseneck. Immortalizing that moment in history. 103 to go. FDU 61, Purdue 56, and a timeout.
And it continued with the final call on Westwood One, a Fairleigh Dickinson's upset win over number one Purdue.
Jenkins is ready. The inbound comes, overshoots everyone, scooped up by Roberts, and that'll do it. The Knights have slain the Dragon for the second time in NCAA tournament history. A 16 has beaten a 1, and the FDU Knights are that 16, knocking off number one in the East, Purdue, 63-58.
Who was the first one to go down?
Virginia. UMBC. So 3 years ago? Virginia's been eliminated in the first round of the tournament 3 out of the last 4 years they've been in it, and the one time that they didn't, they won the whole damn thing.
That's right.
So that's they got
forgives them.
They got bounced last weekend.
Furman
as well. Yeah. Here's what's interesting about Fairleigh Dickinson, other than the fact that the second 16-1, which has more to do with the parity in college basketball than anything. I mean, a 16-1 used to be that's done.
They'd win by 30.
Bye. There was one who got close. Somebody got close with Georgetown. Maybe it's Princeton got close to Georgetown, like with Alonzo Mourning. Like, but it almost never.
It used to be 30-point blowouts.
88-52.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blowouts. And like now, the spreads were in the high 20s.
Yeah. Now they're consistently close. And you've had two of them now because of the parity. Here's another thing about Fairleigh Dickinson.
Yeah.
They did not even win their conference tournament.
Unbelievable.
So Merrimack won the conference tournament. Merrimack cannot play in the NCAA tournament because they're moved up from D2 to D1. And so the NCAA makes you play like probation before you can play up, which is so stupid. Like, they do it so you can't go from D1 to D2 and dominate. But they should easily just say, well, if you go up from D2 to D1, play right away.
Of course,
so that's,
it should be.
Of course, yeah.
But so, we're the NCAA.
They're idiots. There is no gray in the NCAA.
I also feel like it's funny because there's so much more three-point shooting. You would think that maybe scoring would be up. It just feels to me like watching these games, like it's much harder for people to score the basketball than it used to be.
Well,
as an get off my lawn guy. But to your point, it used to be games in the 80s.
Yes. So the skill level isn't being developed the way that it is.
Yeah.
More kids are going one and done and they're gone. And so they don't have skills. So they're going to the pros. And honestly, it takes them a while to get it going in the pros. So that's a big part of it, I think.
Well, and you'd have real teams,
hey, teams
of
have
great
been
players that had played together for 3 years
played
that were
a
just
lot of games.
Wrecking people.
Yeah. And that's just not there anymore. So you have this wild.
I know that you can't do this and it's such a get off my lawn thing, but I will say that my knowledge of college basketball is significantly better from 20 plus years ago than it is today.
Sure. Yeah.
But it feels like even in the brief bit of this tournament that I watched, that you could take like 1 through 4 seeds of those old tournaments would mop the floor with these teams.
I don't think that that's wrong. I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I think the biggest mistake the NBA ever made is one that the NFL didn't make. And the NFL stuck together and fought, and it worked for them. The NBA should have gone with a 3-3 rule, 3 years removed from high school before you can enter our league. And they didn't want to. The Players Association fought it. The reason they fought it was the notion of the sooner you get done with the first contract, the quicker you get the second. But what it's caused is a watered-down league where you're having 19-year-old kids who are trying to figure out how to play in the league. They're not ready-made stars when they come in. The way that you think of the kids, you think about C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, what they're getting. Think what we got in Johnny or Baker when they came in the door. Like, they were ready-made. Everybody knew them. They were household names. That doesn't happen anymore.
And for every LeBron or Kobe.
Oh, God.
Or Garnett.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Who's been the best, like, one and done? Has there been anybody that's been on that level?
On that level?
Yeah.
I mean, the best young players now, most of the best young players in the league now are Euros. So it continues to that point. In terms of the way they're being taught and the way that they're playing, this brings back to the AAU talk from the beginning of the show where isolation, one-on-one, zone defenses, all these things that are taught in AAU doesn't translate into team basketball. And so you're not as smart a player as you were.
Right.
It's harm. There's no question it's harmed the game. And the NBA would benefit 1,000-fold from making kids be 3 years removed from their 18th birthday.
And have them be, like, to your men. Point, men and stars, well-known. Yeah. Oh, my God, I can't wait to see this guy get into the NBA, and you'd have awesome teams again in college. That's the thing that's hard for me is this tournament is more wide open than ever. And I'm somebody who admittedly has not watched a lot of college basketball, but I saw all I needed to see when we went to that game at Butler, and you told me that was the number 6 team in the country.
Right.
And I'm like,
right.
That team would have gotten smoked years ago.
Oh, for sure.
They wouldn't even have been a top 25 team.
Probably not even 10 years ago, they probably would have gotten smoked by, like, you know, like that Florida team that won back-to-back titles with Noah and those guys.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I mean, it's receded a little bit. And the other thing is if you go look at an NBA mock draft, even, like, there's 4 or 5 kids. This Wembanyama kid's going to go number 1, the kid from France. But then there's 4 or 5 kids in the top 7 that are all kids that are playing like G League Unite, like these G League teams, because you can make money doing that now, make a couple $100,000. So they're doing that instead of going to college. So hopefully with college, with NIL, and then I don't know what's going to happen with the age requirement in the NBA. I think they'd benefit from a 20-year-old age requirement at least.
Not just from a basketball standpoint, but from like an adult mentality.
Yeah.
Like being able to manage your money and being able to manage your life.
Yeah.
Who's doing that really well at age 19?
No, you're not. It's like, a lot.
My kid's got potential. She's got some work to do.
She's watching Buddy next week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's doggy sitting in the Budsy next week.
Oh, boy.
So that's big work.
That is big work.
Big work.
I'm not getting roped into coming over to help.
I don't think you'll have
she
to.
She runs into a skunk, her mother can go help.
Nah, he's good. He's staying.
It's just wild, though. That, I mean, I'm looking at the Sweet 16 matchups.
Mm-hmm.
And not that there were always upsets, and you might get a Cinderella or two in the older days of the tournament. Yeah. Like, it was going to be majority made up of 1s, 2s, 3s, and 4s. And you'd have a couple surprises.
6 that you would see would be a 6 like Kansas in 88 that had Danny Manning, who was the national player of the year.
Right.
Like, you weren't going to have – you would never have Princeton like they are in the Sweet 16. Like, they could win a round like they did in 96, and they beat – UCLA. UCLA was defending national champion.
Huh?
They backdoored him to death and beat him.
Yeah. Like the O'Bannon brothers.
51-48 or something like that. Yeah. Actually, I think Ed was already gone.
Was Ed gone?
Ed
was
just a
Charles?
Senior in 95.
I thought Charles O'Bannon,
so Toby
nasty.
Bailey.
Hated Toby
I think
Bailey.
Kirill was the head coach, something like that.
J.R. Henderson. Pete Kirill.
Because the year before was what, Tyus Edney?
Yeah, Tyus and Ed
he had
were
the big
seniors.
Shot. Yeah.
But yeah.
Listen to the seeds. 7 versus 3, Michigan State, Kansas State. 8 versus 4 Arkansas UConn.
That's in one region.
9 versus 4 Florida Atlantic Tennessee.
Yeah.
3-2 Chalk Gonzaga UCLA, which is probably the best game.
That should be a final. That feels like a final four game with those two teams. Yep. Yeah.
Alabama 1 San Diego State 5. 5 Miami 1 Houston. 15 Princeton against 6 Creighton.
Mm-hmm.
3 Xavier 2 Texas. So there's only two Chalk games out of the entire possible
two ones are gone. Didn't get out of the weekend. It's the sixth straight year the defending national champion hasn't gotten out of the first weekend. We had a 15 in the Sweet 16, a 16 win again. There just isn't that much difference. And the other thing is a lot of these small schools, they played together a bunch, or they're like Kansas State, which is just dude transfers. Like that's what they have.
So there's two ones and two twos gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, your Wildcats. Good job.
Yeah.
Yeah, how'd Duke do?
Made it further than Arizona.
If you don't make the Sweet 16, it's not even worth talking about.
It's pretty crazy. You know who's coaching Xavier? Sean Miller.
I know.
He's back at Xavier, and he's in the Sweet 16.
Love and life.
He was very sweaty.
He always was. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's wild. Here's another one of those. This is a good one. This is the final call. FAU's win against Penny Hardaway in Memphis in the first round.
Davis has the basketball, looks to inbound, throws right corner Boyd, shot fake with 4 with 3, Boyd to the rim, layup, good! He laid it in with 2.5 seconds left, inbound, Lomax with 1, they don't get a shot off, McCadden couldn't get the shot off, Nick Boyd the hero, Florida Atlantic, we'll see on Sunday here in Columbus, Florida Atlantic 66, Memphis 65, an absolute thriller. It's on to round two.
That is Ken LaVica from
Love
Good
that
Karma
guy.
Brandt.
Is it really? He's jacked up. God bless him.
He's one of their play-by-play guys down in West Palm at the West Palm affiliate.
Oh, that's great.
It's great. So, by the way, on Thursday night.
That's FAU Radio Network, by the way.
Thursday night, there is nary a one seed playing. There's 1-2 seed playing on the whole slate of Thursday night.
Oh, I know. 16. That's right. People love Cinderella until they don't.
Until now.
You want them to win one round, and then you need order to restore. You need to have Kansas, Kentucky, Duke.
You're not
going to
have any order.
You're not going to have any of them.
And then can I interest you in the fact that the best game on Thursday night tips at 9:50? Which one's that?
Gonzaga, UCLA.
Gonzaga, UCLA.
Oh, God. So they're probably opening, I bet, with Michigan State. Is that the first game?
Yep.
Michigan State's
Florida Atlantic, 33-3 on the season.
Yeah.
Yeah. Arkansas, UConn's at 7:15 for the West region. And then game two out of the West is Gonzaga, UCLA. Yep.
9:50
minutes after.
Ugh.
You know that's going to get a tip till 10.
No. Especially the way these games
are
officiated.
That's a good game.
Yeah. Who's making that, though? Nobody on the East Coast.
No.
Here's the final call from Princeton's upset over Missouri to send him to the Sweet 16 on Westwood One.
2-1. This one is over. It's official. It is history for the Princeton Tigers. For the first time in school history, Princeton is going to the Sweet 16. Just the 4th 15 seed ever in the history of the tournament to advance to the round of 16.
Pretty good.
It is really good.
Yeah. This is Creighton after hitting a couple of threes back-to-back as they beat Baylor 77-59, this on Westwood One.
And if they win this game, up next would be Princeton, the 15 seed in the South region in Louisville. Right corner in the front court, Farabella hits a three, and the lead is back to 15 with 6 minutes to go, 74-59 Creighton.
I'm not sure he's been this hot all season, and Flagler loses it, slips out of his hands.
Another mental error, a turnover. Now Nembhard for three, left wing, and that might be the dagger. Yeah, there's 5:50 left, but Creighton is failing it. The lead is 77-59.
I'll tell you, wasn't the most aesthetically pleasing. There's a lot of games that were tight. That one particularly wasn't, but a lot of tight games down the stretch.
Which was fun.
Last one. This is Arkansas, the 8 seed with the number one recruiting class in the country, mind you. Upsetting number one Kansas in the second round on Westwood One on Saturday.
Wilson, one dribble. He fired. And he banked it in.
Wow.
He didn't want to. Inbound pass. Comes to Arkansas. Bounce to Black. Wow. No foul. And Arkansas survives. The defending champs do not. 72-71. They'll be calling the Hogs all night in Des Moines. The 8 seed knocks out the returning champion Jayhawks.
There you go.
No Bill Self. Musselman took his shirt off in the stands afterward, which did. I'm not really sure what's going on there. But
do you know who Musselman's married to?
So I kept seeing her, but I was watching it in a bar, and there was no audio. So I'm like, I don't know. I feel like I should know who she is.
So do you remember she was a SportsCenter anchor named Danielle Sargent, who then went to Fox Sports when they were doing like Fox Sports was trying to do like SportsCenter. At that time,
okay.
She's most famous for dropping an F-bomb on SportsCenter.
Oh.
Do you remember? Like, right when things were going viral, things first started to go viral, she was, like, somebody screwed up a graphic, and she dropped an F-bomb on SportsCenter. And,
oh, man.
Yeah, that's his wife. But, yeah, like, I was selling that to Beamsy. I made all the boys pick Blue Bloods, I've told you guys before. So he loves Kansas.
Rough.
And I said, I go, dude, I'm telling you, Arkansas is a full day. Dad, they're an 8 seed. We're a 1, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I'm telling you, buddy, like, they've got the number one recruiting class in the country. They've been in the Elite 8 the last 2 years. They're a full day, man. They're a full day. Kansas up 10 and then blew it in the second half of that one. But it was fun. But you're right. From here on out, it's going to be dicey. They need – if you're a CBS Turner executive, you need to have a little bit of chalk prevail. You need a Michigan State – or Tennessee, UCLA. You need UCLA or Gonzaga. Both of those would work.
But one of those is
Houston.
One of those, you're losing one of those.
You are. You need Houston. You need Bama, honestly, as much as nobody wants to deal with the rest of the story with Alabama. Alabama's road to the Final Four will be, so they play San Diego State.
And then they get
if
the
they
winner
win,
of
they
Creighton
got
and Princeton.
Creighton, Princeton. So their path would be San Diego State, Creighton, or Princeton. And then if they get to the Final Four, it's either Tennessee, Michigan State, it'd likely be one of those too.
Yeah, Tennessee, Michigan State, Kansas State.
Okay, State could do it. But either way, like, that's it to get to the national championship game. That's a pretty easy path. I liked your Dukies a lot coming into it too.
So I had this conversation with Connor about this. Here's the problem. Good team, not a great team. I think they used up everything to win the ACC.
Yeah.
And
that can
I
happen.
Also would say, like, that's why Michigan State's had success. They got bounced early. You have a week to think about what went down. You know you're a better team than that. You come out with a little chip on your shoulder.
Big Ten has not won an NCAA tournament since Michigan State in 01 or 90, 2000. Mateen Cleaves and those guys, 2000, 2001, whenever that was. So two things from the Big Ten perspective. Number one, the way the league is officiated hampers it in March. They allow for a lot of chunky play that when you get to March isn't allowed. If you watch the Purdue game, you could actually hear the referee yelling to Zach Edey, get out of the key, get out, get out, get out. In the Big Ten, they let him camp. And he killed him in the camping out. So I think that's the first thing. And the second thing is the Big Ten, there aren't that many pros. Not studs. There's a lot of pros. But there aren't NBA stars that come out of that league the way that there used to be 30 years ago. Some of that's population shift. Some of that's misses in recruiting. But they just don't have... You know, they don't have a laundry list of those guys. When people say, oh, are you shocked about Purdue? No, I'm not. I didn't think they'd get to Sweet 16 anyway, let alone thinking they'd go any further than that. If they were going to go, they should have went last year when they had Jaden Ivey. They lost to St. Peter's.
Man.
That's what happens. Yeah. It's crazy. It's a crazy sport at the moment, to say the least.
Strange. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not great what's happened to it.
No, and I got, like you said, I feel like the numbers are going to bear this out that – the TV ratings are just – this weekend's going to be tough.
You know, it's funny, though. Like I was saying, it's all anyone was talking about everywhere I went. It was on nonstop. I think people
upsets.
Love the bracket so much, too. Like they're so into – how's my bracket? How's your – like one of my boys is like, oh, my bracket's a disaster. I said, dude, everybody's is.
My bracket is busted.
No one's got a bracket, man. Like there's no brackets left. It's over. It's absolutely
I had Arizona,
over.
Kansas in the finals.
Yeah. Hey, UCLA, Duke. So UCLA's still in the mix.
Yeah, UCLA.
But that's it. I mean, it's hard.
It's rough.
Yeah, I only have six of 16 Sweet 16 teams. I've never done that poorly, ever.
I don't know how many I have. I'll look.
Yeah, probably not many.
Probably not many.
You know, you weren't projecting a lot of this stuff.
Well, I didn't. I was.
How could anybody?
Basing it on nothing.
Well, you're basing it on historical, you know, knowledge
right.
of programs and who you think's good and who's not. I mean,
And experts.
Like what they used to be and kind of having a feel for it. But there's nobody knows anything. Nobody had Creighton Princeton playing.
Right.
So
have you seen the picture rolling around? And I just brought it up because I'm trying to figure out legit or not legit. The Fairleigh Dickinson director of media relations. Have you seen this going
around?
Yeah,
it's like he's a kid.
He's 24. Or he's a junior. Yeah.
He's a junior at the university.
Well, I'm guessing,
and he looks like he's 10.
It doesn't surprise me too much in that, like, what's their athletic budget?
It's a great question. I mean, it should grow now.
But so, yeah.
If you have not seen him, at first I thought it was a joke. At first I'm like, this is someone's kid at the scoring table, and, like, this is not. But it is true.
Yeah. And again, it speaks to the idea. I guess that's the beauty of it. If we take away the bad ball and some of the other things, it's not as great as it used to be. The idea that a school like Fairleigh Dickinson, whose athletic budget has a junior operating their sports information department versus Purdue, which makes $90 million a year in TV just because they're associated with Ohio State in football.
It's crazy.
That those two things are competing and they have nothing in common.
Apples and tacos. I've got 8 of the Sweet 16.
Good job out of you.
I've got Alabama.
Yep.
And then pretty rough city for a while there and the rest of that. I've got Kansas State.
Good job out of you. You picked them over Kentucky.
I did. I've got Houston and Miami.
Wow.
I've got Xavier and Texas. So I was pretty good in the Midwest.
That's crazy. You have that whole bracket then.
Yeah. Great. And then I've got Gonzaga, UCLA.
Yeah.
Stupid Larinaga couldn't win anything at Bowling
Green. St. Mary's.
Postseason. He takes Miami every year to.
Jim Larinaga was at Bowling Green?
He's my coach.
Come on. Really?
Yeah.
And then he went from there to George Mason?
Uh-huh. Yep. Dockett's replaced him after my sophomore year.
I'll be damned. I didn't know that. I didn't know he was there. I was disappointed Kent State played the way they played. I thought they'd play better. I thought they could get Indiana, but they didn't play well.
I think they should have. They offensively, they can never seem to get going.
Yeah, and they couldn't deal with Indiana's size, really, to be honest.
Somebody texted me Durant was one and done at Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So he would be
He'd be the best.
One and done.
Yeah. Yeah, one and done. When does that come in? Mid-2000s? It was right after they had that run of like Kwame Brown, Eddie Curry, Tyson Chandler, like all those guys came out straight out of high school, and then they put in the one and done rule. So Durant would be the best. He'd be the best of those. Yeah.
So this is from here's the ratings. You were talking about the ratings.
Mm-hmm.
According to Sports Business Journal, the tournament featured the most watched first round in its history. More than 9 million people watched the games on average. People are hungry for sports, live sports.
What does that say when you look at the NBA, MLB?
Here's what it is.
How about this?
Go ahead.
One more little fun fact. Nearly 30% more people watch the first round of the NCAA tournament than the NBA's conference finals.
Mm-hmm. That's not surprising. That's what it felt like, honestly, this weekend. It's all anyone was talking about. So there's a lot of factors to that. The thing that is most amazing about it is I don't think anybody's watching college basketball during the season.
For 5 months out of the year.
They're not watching it. This is what makes it so unique. No one pays attention to it, and then this thing happens, and it's a Thursday and a Friday, and it's a holiday, and there's a bracket.
That's
and
fun.
You get to do the brackets are fun. There's a game all the time on and going next.
I bet that weekend will outdo this weekend.
I think there's a decent chance.
Yeah.
Yeah, because especially when you were going over those and you start – doing the matchups in your head, like where are you putting in TV windows? And there's not a lot you can put on CBS. That's another part of it. It's all on CBS, or a lot of it's on CBS. So you get the network bump as well still.
The sad part, too, though, is the best game is going to be watched by not as many as there should be.
Yeah, 950.
950 for Gonzaga, UCLA. Like,
that's a great one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be good. You mentioned Lamar Jackson is going to be interviewing himself.
Yeah, or something like that.
We'll get to some of the details on that coming up next. Listen to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily brought to you by Ballybet. Coming soon to Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
All right, welcome back into Cleveland Browns Daily, 850 ESPN Cleveland. We have one more, don't we? Do we have another?
Yeah, we have one more.
This will be about a 3 minute.
Gibby throwing haymakers right there.
He did.
That's a lot.
He did throw haymakers. You can't like walking out the door. Right,
I don't think you
can
throw those kind of haymakers when you are Peepaw.
I am trying to prepare you so mentally you are ready for what's coming.
I appreciate you.
I'm going to tell you it's going to
it's
happen.
It's all happening.
And then you're going to want to kill the person.
All right.
Oh, man.
Peace and love.
Lots of nothing, and yet innuendo on the Lamar Jackson front. I've seen two different people from Indy talk about the Colts trading for Lamar Jackson.
Apparently, there's some Vikings talk too. Some Vikings smoke right now.
Quasi.
Yeah.
Ruh-roh.
By the way, I'm experiencing
anything can be matched.
That's right. I'm experiencing some. I'm experiencing something very unenjoyable right now. So you know, I shaved the beard a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Oh, and obviously it's back. Again? It's like it's in the itchy phase right now. It's so annoying.
Yeah, that's hard.
Wasn't worth it for a week. Although Miss K was happy. So
yeah, but it is once you take it down, then you're gonna have about 5 days that are gonna.
I got like right in here. Yeah. Awful. Oh,
yeah,
drive me nuts.
Yeah, and then once you're through that, then
that's great.
Leave it, then you're
smooth
fine.
Sailing.
Yeah,
yeah.
Can
I'll
we
be back.
Back to this whole Aaron Rodgers thing? Because again, I'm still getting up to speed on things.
Yeah,
I know
miss a little, miss
do
a lot.
What Lamar does, but like, what if this deal doesn't get done? What if the Packers just go, we're just going to play hardball and we don't really care?
So $50 million for nothing. That they
it's
won't
a hell
him.
Of a spite store is what it'll be. It would be an incredible
real pricey,
real pricey spite. Is what
I feel
be.
Like you'd have a better chance with that. When if they were a team that was run by a vindictive billionaire who was like, $50 million doesn't mean anything to me, and I hate you. But like, the Packers don't have that.
But they're talking about, like,
you know
Peter
what I mean?
King said today, he goes, I would just trade him for, like, a second and third round, and the like, it can move up. It's a conditional pick based on if he plays both years or this and that. Like he said, I wouldn't even get a pick this year. It would be for 24 and 25.
Why?
He goes, at most, you're going to get a 1 and a 2. I'm like, what?
That seems weird to me. Like, I think they'll hold more firm than that.
I think that's what's probably holding this up.
Who makes money on the Packers? Who's the individuals? Because everybody has, like, the shares because they're publicly traded. But who's, like, the person when the checks come in, like, oh, we get $275 million this year from the NFL. Like, who's the person who's swimming in gold coins? Who is that?
I don't know if there is one. Maybe there's a trustee that oversees the financial operation.
Where's the money?
Yeah.
Who gets the money? Who makes that call? I know that, like, Murphy's the boss. He's the president. Gutekunst is there. He's the GM. But, like,
hold on. Green Bay Packers Board of Directors is the organization that serves as the owner of for the Green Bay Packers of the NFL. So it is an executive committee, and it is a board of directors. Now in their 104th season, so it is currently composed of Carl Schmidt,
That's
Daniel
right,
T. Ahrens, secretary. Oh, so he's the secretary. Carl Schmidt's a member. Daniel T. Ahrens is the secretary. Mark Murphy is the president. He's featured in the middle. You'd think that he's got the most clout. Donald J. Long Jr. is a member. Michael D. Simmer is the treasurer. So perhaps
so
him.
Are they the
How
ones
get on
that
get
board? The cash?
Susan M.
Who owns
Finko
it?
Is the vice president and lead director, and Marsha M. Anderson is a member.
Who owns the majority shares of the Green Bay Packers?
So
that's what I'm curious about. Well, we're up against it. So you get the answer to that. Okay. So much more to come. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily brought to you by Ballybet. Coming soon to Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
ESPN reporting, Iona's Rick Pitino has agreed on a 6-year deal to become the St. John's head coach.
Ooh.
From Providence in the Big East like 30 years ago. Yeah.
You're still not on.
Yeah.
To Kentucky, to the Boston Celtics. Well, no, to the Knicks, to Kentucky, Boston Celtics, Louisville, one bad mistake at an Italian restaurant.
Oops.
Overseas, Iona, St. John's. That's the run. There you go.
It's a spicy meatball.
It really is. Was for him. Next level's next. We're back tomorrow. Cleveland Browns Daily, 850 ESPN Cleveland.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and 850 ESPN Cleveland.